is the leader of the Nasty Nation.
You know Prince Havoc? You know Jack Peterson?
I don't know who these people are.
It's your boy, Ryan Van Vliet. Vlietie's
Fred Jonathan Bond.
The hipster heartthrob, Casanova Valentine.
You're listening to Fight Guys.
Fight Guys.
Fight Guys.
You at your guys.
Take it again?
Fight Guys, the alternative wrestling podcast.
The pro wrestling alternative podcast.
The alternative podcast.
All right, we can work with that.
Are you ready?
We are changing the wrestling world.
Hall of Famer, yeah.
This is as real as it gets. This is the realest podcast today.
Something came up, Daddy-O.
I think I'm cute. I think I'm sexy. I've got the looks that drives the girls wild.
This is Stone Cold Steve Austin, right?
Yeah.
When he's driving and you cut him off at an intersection.
Yeah.
Okay. What? Break it
down. I'm scared because I was actually talking about the voices that I hear in my head, and I now realize we were talking about Randy Orton.
He not only sucks, but he blows.
Number one match of all time happened at AEW Revolution.
Get that? That was my sigh. I was sighing.
I think all these wrestlers should die. They should get executed.
The point is not the fact that Rey Mysterio dies at the end, because I'll go cry about it. Rey Mysterio's dead. Whatever.
Is Pantera a screamo band?
Oh my god. What are you calling me?
This is how I know that your guys' business relationship and partnership is not going to last. Either Jack's going to flip out and get mad at Phil.
Oh, you are a pretentious fucking asshole.
Or Phil's going to be like, Jack, man, you're always rash to me, man.
You sound like an internet idiot, and I'm ashamed to be on a podcast with you.
Oh my god, oh my god.
We're so alternative.
I am Jack Peterson, I am Ajax, I am Mr. Clean, I'm Corona Guy, I'm Sex Pac, I'm Mr. Trivia, the defending champion, I'm Mr. Predictions, and still, and I am joined every single week by the guy who lost, you know, again.
I'll come back, don't worry. You know, I'm feeling Prince Havoc, whatever. Jack, you seem so confident, you know, with these titles that you have now, but it's just so funny because it's really not going to last long. But,
really?
You know. I'll let you have your time. I won't put a towel over the light that's shining on you right now. I'll let you have your light. I'll put my towel in the locker room. Don't worry. But just know that light's gonna be mine. That light has my name on it.
Isn't now, Phil. Well, you know, I appreciate you not putting your towel on the light. I'm not sure what the metaphor is exactly, but Phil.
No, it's fine. Interrupt.
I'm pretty sure you're interrupting me in this circumstance, Phil.
Just go ahead. It's fine.
Oh, no, totally. No, go ahead if you have something to say. No.
Oh, no, go ahead. It's fine.
Well, Phil, you talk about Mr. Trivia, one of my titles. You're saying I'm very confident about it, and there's a reason for that, because we'll get to the Mr. Prediction stuff. We'll get to that. But you see, Phil, my Mr. Trivia title is one that I've defended now four times, right? I defended this, of course, at episode 25. I defended it three times in one night against the best, quote-unquote, of Fight Guys Trivia. I defended it three times in one night, episode 50. Go back and figure it out. Find it. Watch it. All right? It's full in video on YouTube. It's on all platforms, Phil. But that's not the point. I've beaten so many people that I decided to issue my open challenge, right? I issued this a couple weeks ago. And Phil, I'm a little bit disappointed because a lot of people in the chat were talking really big. They were talking a huge game, you know, a really big game, a humongous game, an enormous game, too big for my liking. And then none of them have so far accepted my challenge. Because all I said, there was a very simple request that I made, Phil, because I think that I can beat, you know, anybody else who thinks that they know trivia, wrestling trivia, that is. and any other kind of trivia, I'll be honest, I'm lost. But I issued this open challenge because of my confidence that you mentioned. And I said that all you have to do to challenge me for this trivia title is you have to send in a promo. You send it to fightgeistwrestling@gmail.com, and that's all you have to do. Nobody's done it yet, Phil. Nobody's accepted my challenge, but that's okay. Because you see, Phil, I'm perfectly happy sitting on my throne right now. I'm perfectly happy sitting right here, knowing that I'm Mr. Trivia, knowing that I've defended it four times. And I don't need anybody to challenge me. And I realize everybody else is just avoiding this because they're just, you know, I could say cowards, I could say wimps, I could say pissants. Is that a good one? I don't even think that means coward, but whatever. It's a good insult. Very underrated. But Phil, nobody wants my title, apparently. I mean, you mentioned you want it, but clearly you haven't even come for it yourself. So I don't know what's happening, Phil, but everybody's just sitting at home ignoring the fact that they have a chance here.
Open challenge. Can you beat Jack at the trivia game that he chooses the questions for? Yeah, it's all a work. It's all rigged. This isn't real. But I'm not going to lie. For in a prediction game, I kind of screwed myself a little bit with my Randy Orton picks, and I wanted Will Ospreay to win deep down inside of me. But listen, it is what it is. It is what it is. I'll admit when I messed up. I'll say it. You didn't cheat that time. I was in my emotions with Randy Orton and Bullet Club and such.
Right.
But it's fine. It's fine. It's fine. I'll come back. I found a Randy Orton, a nice portrait I have while packing, and it's now up on my wall. I had Becky Lynch on my calendar. I'm gonna show everybody that's looking at the video podcast. See, Randy Orton's right there, and Becky Lynch is behind him. But I said, you know what? Screw her. Randy Orton is all I want. He's what I want at WrestleMania.
Right.
He's what I want at the Mania after that. He's what I want every week on my TV. No one's better than Randy Orton, and it saddens me that he's not in the main event of WrestleMania. But we have time. We have time. We have time. We have time. You know, we have 3 weeks, and you know, a lot can happen in 3 weeks. Think about it. Think about it. Like, if you really think about it. Think about it. A lot can happen in 3 weeks. 1 week, Drew McIntyre was champion. Next week, Miz was champion. Next week, Bobby Lashley was champion. You never know. That means that, like, within these 3 weeks, Randy Orton's going to be champion.
You're insane.
Roman Reigns is going to, like do something else. And it's going to be Edge versus Randy Orton in the main event of WrestleMania. It's all I want.
I know it's what you want, Phil, but you see, I came into the show today after Fastlane, at the pay-per-view that was Fastlane, after the Orton-Fiend match that was confirmed officially to happen at WrestleMania, and I expected this would be the day that you finally admit that your dream of Randy Orton versus Edge for the WWE Championship, or Randy Orton versus Drew McIntyre, or whatever, is not going to happen, that Randy Orton's not going to challenge for the title at WrestleMania, or defend it, or anything, but I see you're digging yourself into your hole. I see that you're digging yourself. Yeah, I see that in your wildest dreams, you're digging yourself into Randy Orton's hole, and that's all fine. But you see, Phil, I mean, this is getting to another level of conspiracy. I'm worried about your Randy Orton QAnon shit because you keep delaying the date. You keep saying, you know, the storm is coming, the RKO is coming. Phil, it's not coming. You are, but.
No, it's. I'm telling you. I don't know why you don't believe me. You'll all see. I'm telling you, it's going to happen. You're going to see Randy Orton at WrestleMania with the title. No one believes me, but it's fine.
From the chat, glad to see Phil is out of his feels and thinking logically. Yeah, you said that you were done picking emotionally. Actually, you said this a couple months ago, that you were done picking emotionally in the prediction game. You said just now that you made emotional picks and you regret that fact over the course of Fastlane and the New Japan Cup. And at this point, Phil, it's very clear that you're not past that.
I'm past it. Look.
Are you?
So how about Andrade?
Well, Phil, we're gonna get to Andrade. I just want to run down what happened at Fastlane real quick. Andrade
don't
was
crush
released.
My dreams, all right? I don't want you guys are trying to crush my dreams of Randy Orton at WrestleMania, and like I don't appreciate it.
Well, Phil, we're also gonna get to your dreams because that's another thing we have planned for later today. But look, Phil, you're getting ahead of us. You're getting ahead of me and yourself. Look. As far as the predictions game go, because I mentioned that I'm still a Mr. Predictions, right? And that's true because this is what happened as far as the prediction game. New Japan Cup, which we're going to talk about in a minute. New Japan Cup, we were both wrong on the winner, Phil. You had Kenta. I had Jay White winning. Neither of those things happened.
You
Will
know,
Ospreay.
It's crazy. I always pick, like, Ospreay is one of those guys that, like, I would always pick emotionally, like Darby Allin. And I didn't pick him this time.
Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't pick him. And he's like my favorite guy. And I'm whatever. It's fine. Yeah. It's because Randy Orton's in my head. It just clouds things up.
Yeah, next time they do a New Japan tournament, you're definitely going to pick Randy Orton. Will Ospreay is a guy who you picked to win the G1 Climax last year, with just no context. He was a babyface at the time, not even close. But you had him going to the finals here. He ended up winning the whole thing. You got a point for Ospreay making it as far as he did. I got a point for Shingo. So we each got a point there, and we both got a point for Evil. Basically, it was a tie, the New Japan Cup. We each got 2 points with that. Then at Fastlane, we both were correct in picking Drew McIntyre and Roman Reigns. We were both wrong in picking Apollo Crews, which was very interesting. The Shane versus Strowman match, which we disagreed on, didn't end up happening. The Randy Orton Alexa Bliss match ended up being won by Alexa Bliss, so we were both wrong on that. And then the deciding point ended up being the mind games I played with you last week, where I got you to switch your pick on the women's tag title match. And it cost you, Phil, because I was right with Nia and Shayna. You ended up with Sasha and Bianca, which was my original pick. We flip-flopped. And at this point, Phil, I'm 2 points ahead of you. The score is 88 to 86.
I know. Look, there's just a lot going on right now. Like, yeah. I'm still coming off Elimination Chamber, if I'm being honest with you.
Really?
I'm still coming off that. I'm still feeling the effects of that. I'm just going to be honest. So, you know, I'm going through stuff, you know.
Yeah. No, I don't blame
you. But it's fine. I'll figure it out. Just, you know, Randy Orton's going to be in WrestleMania main event Edge. It's fine. Everything's all right.
I feel one of these days I have to just sit you down and have an intervention, because you need to at one point just say flat out, this match is not happening. Especially with Edge. Like, it's one thing to say that he's going to challenge Lashley or McIntyre or whatever. But with Edge, he's involved in another storyline.
Yeah, but the Fiend could take the mask off and it's Edge. Never
it's
know.
It's entirely possible.
Never know.
But Phil, Fastlane happened this week, and we mentioned, it changed the prediction game a little bit. The gap is a little bit wider. But outside of that, Fastlane, a pretty uneventful show. I was not super happy with it overall. I thought the Drew McIntyre-Sheamus match was great.
I thought
that was pretty cool. Exploding shit, you know, whatever, hitting each other hard, weapons, you know, it's my bag. Main event with Roman Reigns and Daniel Bryan. I mean, it was a little bit on the overbooked side, maybe a lot of interference shit, but I loved it. I thought it was a great match. And it was a great finish. Edge turning on Bryan was very interesting.
Edge got mad.
Yeah, he did. I'm looking forward to seeing what happens at WrestleMania. I don't know if it's going to be a triple threat scenario, if Bryan's still going to be involved, but regardless of what happens, I'm just interested in it. And it was a good match. The rest of the show, I did not give a single shit about, Phil, except for The Fiend returning. That was cool. He's got a cool new look. And also the Big E Apollo match, I was expecting a lot out of that. I think it went like 2 minutes, and Big E won with a roll up where I'm pretty sure Apollo's shoulder was up. They didn't even play a replay, so I couldn't double check.
They got to redo that Mania. They got to redo that Mania.
Yeah, they will. They will.
They
but it was
a great match.
Yeah.
I mean, the match wasn't bad at Fastlane, but they're probably saving it for Mania or something.
I think they are, but it's. I was disappointed because I expected at least the match would happen in some capacity, even if there was not a finish. I expected them to delay it to Mania, but
I was mad that it even happened that fast. And like, I didn't want them to do that fast at all. Like, it should have happened at Mania.
Right.
But it's fine. So I'm okay. Okay. I'll tell you what I liked about. I mean, I enjoyed Fastlane. I thought it was a cool pay-per-view. I mean, listen, McIntyre and Sheamus was awesome. Daniel Bryan and Roman Reigns, that match was so good.
Yeah.
Like, honestly, there came points where I was like, Daniel Bryan might win this. But, I mean, he didn't. But, you know, it's good when you know. Like, of course, all of us going into this match, we all knew Daniel Bryan wasn't going to win. But it's good when, you know, the match goes on and you're like, wait a minute, he might win it.
Right.
Like, that makes a great match. And the whole, like, Uso thing was crazy. And then the ref took, like, a real bump. It was real nice to see that. It wasn't like someone like just waved their arm and the ref died. No, he got hit.
Yeah.
And then Edge snapped. I was so shocked. I was shocked that he hit both of them. I was like, oh my God, this is insane. But it was really cool. Hold on. What else? Oh yeah. I already talked about Apollo Big E. It was a cool match, but I think they're saving the good stuff for Mania. Strowman and Elias. I mean, it didn't really have to happen, but I enjoyed Braun Strowman. So it was like a nice little thing. But what else? I would have watched the thing after the Stone Cold Randy Orton thing, which I'm dying to watch. But I came home at like 11 that night, and then I put on Fastlane, and I had to get up the next day. So I feel like if that Strowman match didn't happen, I probably would have watched a Randy Orton thing. Okay, I'm not going to talk about Randy Orton. Forget it. I don't want to get on that again.
Right.
Yeah. I say his name, and it's just I get emotions. I feel tears ready to come out because of Elimination Chamber. But we're talking about Fastlane. We're not talking about Elimination Chamber. It's okay. Randy Orton's going to fight Edge. Mania. It's
no,
all good.
He's not.
Now, the thing that I'm mad about.
Yeah.
Well, hold on. The Randy Orton Alexa thing. Fiend looks awesome now. It was pretty crazy. Alexa tried to kill him. But thing I'm mad about. Thing I'm real mad about Fastlane. They didn't need to have Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler versus Sasha and Bianca Belair at all.
Right.
They should have taken that match out, or if they were going to have it, they should have replaced it with the amazing match that was on the pre-show. We had Matt Riddle versus Mustafa Ali for the United States title.
Yeah.
That's a major title. Like, why is that on the pre-show? And on top of that, it was a great match. He did a freaking bro Derek from the second rope. And on top of that, Jack.
Yeah.
Retribution betrayed Ali. Like, that's a big thing. Like, yeah, Retribution fell off. But at one point, they were, like, a big deal. And I mean, like, how is the end of Retribution going to go on the pre-show?
Right.
Like, why is Matt Riddle defending his title on the pre-show? Like, I don't understand. That should have been the first match. They should have had the Nia Jax whatever match on the pre-show, or just not have it at all. Like, I'm annoyed that they did that. I'm really annoyed about that.
Yeah.
It really hurts me and insults me. I just can't believe that they would do that. I don't get it. I don't get it.
Well, I'm sure part of the annoyance for you comes with the fact you lost a point on that one, but I do agree. I think that, yeah, the Retribution thing, interesting. I liked Retribution at one point, and they definitely declined very quickly.
I don't know what happened. It kind of sucks. Like, dude, yeah. They used to have like 30 people, and
right.
Then there was like 5 people, and then they kept losing, and
you
now
remember,
they're gone.
You remember when they had entire shows that were dedicated to Retribution? You turn on SmackDown, the beginning, you have the Then Now Forever intro, but it's all fucked up and moving around, and it's like, oh, it must be Retribution. And then the show ends with the lights going out, Retribution coming in and attacking everybody. They would dedicate the entire episode, before we knew who they were, to Retribution, this mysterious group. They had their big stamp, the brand was on everything. And maybe it was when, I mean, it's weird, because I loved when Mustafa Ali joined and became a leader, but it seems
that
like
was,
that's
that
the
was,
point where it declined.
That was October 5th, if I'm correct.
You're right, it was. that's the moment. Nia and Shayna, Sasha, Bianca, that match already happened at Elimination Chamber. It was almost the same finish, like almost spot for spot the same finish. And didn't need to happen. And I hated it. I honestly hated it. I watched it in the background. but
I didn't hate it. I was just... Like, it was it was the first match, whatever. But then once I found out about the pre-show match, I was like, what? That's ridiculous. And you know what? Braun Strowman and Elias was on the show.
Yeah, exactly.
But the U.S. title match wasn't. I didn't even put that together. And now I'm a little bit more mad, but it's fine.
Dude, Braun Strowman and Elias. So next week, we're going to be doing our bottom fives, okay? Next week, we're going to be updating our bottom fives, right? We're going to be talking about the wrestlers we really hate right now. I have so much to say about Braun Strowman, Elias, Shane McMahon. So much to say. We'll get to that next week, okay? It's so bad, Phil. It's so bad. But see, Fastlane overall, I think, was a pretty bad show with some bright spots, some really good matches on it. And, you know, it's ultimately going to be a very forgettable show. But WrestleMania, I think, will be mostly cool. I'm not super into the card they have right now. It's fine.
Oh, I'm very into it.
Really? You would be.
Well, you don't like anyone, so.
Yeah, totally.
I can get why you're not into it.
I don't like anyone, dude. You know me. I like some of the matches. It's just a little underwhelming to me.
Underwhelming.
Yeah, I mean, I've talked about how I don't like Lashley.
Edge, Roman Reigns.
That's the cool one.
Bobby Lashley, Drew McIntyre.
Yeah, I don't care.
Bianca Belair, Sasha Banks.
That one's fine.
Rhea Ripley, Asuka.
Yeah.
These are amazing. What are you talking about? These are amazing matches. Well, Bad Bunny and The Miz is what I'm looking forward to.
Oh, fuck you. No.
I'm really looking forward to it. I'm serious.
No, you're not.
I want to see what he does in that ring. I find it very exciting whenever a non-wrestler wrestles. Like Shaq. Shaq going through two tables. Like, that was a bump.
Right.
Like, not only did he go through the tables... Like, he did nothing to break his fall, and on top of that, there were, like, two people I mean, there was a person on him, a 6'4", like 250-pound Cody Rhodes on him. Like, you got to give it him. That was crazy. And the match was cool. But yeah, I like celebrity things, like you know Snooki and this and that. So I'm very interested to see what's going to happen there. I know you feel like the Miz. Mm-hmm. I know Miz's promo on Raw really spoke to you.
Yeah,
it did. You know what spoke to me? The snippet of Johnny Drip Drip and MIZ's diss track to Bad Bunny. That's what spoke to me.
Phil, let me just say, we're going to get to that next week, and we'll be able to see the entire video as well. But next week...
It's all I want. It's like... No. It's crazy, because it's like... I think about the things that I really, really want in life, and it's Randy Orton Mania, Johnny Drip Drip, MCMIC, this track.
I don't understand your mind and the way it works. This is one of the worst things I've ever seen, but it's going to only get worse on Raw this coming week. Phil... The New Japan Cup also happened this week. Yes. NJPW, they had the finals of the New Japan Cup, which we mentioned in the prediction standings. But one thing that happened that was kind of controversial was at the end, because you see Will Ospreay won, your boy, and he beat Shingo in the finals, which I thought was a really good match. You know, it was cool. It was like a decent tournament overall. Ospreay wins. You know, it's interesting. He's going to rematch Kota Ibushi, Wrestle Kingdom rematch, right? So that's cool. But... what happened after the match was interesting, because he got on the mic. Ospreay gets on the mic. He cuts a promo and he says, I want this title more than anything or anyone. And then he just straight up hits an Os cutter, or it was just a regular RKO, I guess, on his own girlfriend, Bea Priestley. And I'm just really confused by this. But overall, like, the online reaction was really extreme, because people were like, at least from what I could see, people were like, well, this is so on brand for Will Ospreay, because during the speaking out movement, he was accused of, I guess, verbally abusing women on the internet, where he like threatened people for trying to expose his friends who were apparently predators. That was like his thing, his role in that movement, right? So they were saying, this makes sense. Of course he would RKO his own girlfriend because he hates women, right? Which...
It's not RKO. Watch your mouth.
RKO. It was an RKO. he didn't springboard, so but and actually they might be right, these people, but regardless, I that was not the problem I had with it, Phil. First of all, I want to hear your take on it, but it was a weird, really deeply weird segment.
I'm shocked. I mean, I don't know what to expect. I like it though. I want to see where this goes. This is insane.
Yeah,
I'm a big fan of it, and I want to see where this goes. It's real crazy to me. People are thinking too much into it, and it's just chill out. It's not that deep.
It probably isn't that deep, and I don't know if it's going to go anywhere. I mean, you say, I want to see where it goes. This might be the only segment, you know?
It might go somewhere. Like, he's not just going to do that and leave.
I feel like he is.
Like, it's never going to be brought up again. Like, I don't know.
Well, let's not pretend that New Japan is some genius at booking over here. Gato doesn't necessarily call back to things except for like random spots and matches. We're joined by Sebi. I know Sebi had a strong reaction to this segment. He said he had some hot takes to talk about the Ospreay thing. Sebi, what are your thoughts on this?
You know, here it goes. I was up by 3 a.m. watching this match. And by the way, nobody's disagreeing that this match was anything else but really great.
Yeah.
Nobody's saying, oh, that match would, you know, ruin the match for me or whatever. Nobody's saying that the match was bad. And right. Honestly, I watched the aftermath go down. I watched the post-conference thing, his promo. And after that, I went to bed, woke up in the morning and saw Twitter. And it was a garbage fire, to say the least. Well, just like wrestling Twitter is every day, but, you know, that's just how it is. So, the way that it went down, I liked it. I liked it a lot.
Really? What?
Yes.
Yes. I absolutely loved this angle. When it revolves to Will Ospreay as a person or whatever, I honestly, and I'm not saying this like, you know, sound like edgy or whatever, but I'm watching the medium of entertainment he's in. However he is outside of that, I have no clue. I'm not in those conversations. I don't know how he is, so I'm not going to put my 2 cents into that.
Exactly.
But when watching the actual medium of him as an actor, as a performer, this makes a lot of sense. It's sort of like a serial killer type movie type vibe where it's like he's willing to throw away like literally anything in order to get what he wants, and what he wants is the World Heavyweight title.
Like Randy Orton!
Exactly. It's a long form way of putting over the title.
Mm-hmm.
And I like that a lot.
Well, Sibby, I found a clip where you're saying something else, actually something a little bit different about this storyline. I just want you to hear what you said. I had to say a couple weeks ago about this.
You know, man, she was asking for it. She was wearing purple that night.
So, Sebi, we see where you stand, okay? And I feel like it's a little disrespectful, you know, towards women in general. But regardless, Sebi, this is what...
What is that even?
It's from episode 50. I don't even know where I found it. But, look, I did not like this angle. I thought this was bad, and it's not for the reasons people were talking about online. I don't really have... Like you said, Sebi, I kind of agree. Like, I don't have any real frame of reference for who he is as a real person. I mean... Apparently, he's not the nicest guy. I've heard other stories that say he is a nice guy. I don't know. I mean, he's not one of the people who's accused of actual sexual misconduct. He's accused of other things, and I have no knowledge of really what it is. So I won't necessarily connect it to that, but I think that I think this just didn't make sense. Like, I don't understand where he was going with this, because he wants the title, right? Great. He'll sacrifice anything. But why did he need to RKO B? Like, she's just standing there. Like... She was not standing
in
his
way.
She's not.
She's
straight up
a distraction.
She's a distraction to Shingo and all the other people Osprey fights. She helps him.
I don't even.
He has to be there for her. He has to pleasure her. He has to do everything for her. And he says, you know what? No more of that. I want this title, and no one's gonna stand in my way. And that was a message. She was an example to everyone else. If he did that to his girl, imagine what he'll do to everyone else. Imagine what he'll do to his opponents.
I'm going to be honest with you, Phil. I don't think it's as deep as that.
Yeah, agreed, yeah.
Honestly, the thing is, like, all right, I don't even think there was a main motivation of, like, him, like, finding a way to dislike her. Honestly, it was, like, when you look at the post-match promo, which was probably, honestly, Ospreay's best promo he's ever done.
Yeah, that's true.
To be quite honest
with
you. He put it over as, I love that woman. But I threw it all away.
Sick. I'm still lost though, because
he has voices in his
head. If he's willing to just like throw that all away for nothing, out of necessity for the moment, then what is he willing to do to Kota Ibushi when the time comes on April 4th?
Well, I don't know. Hit him with an Oz cutter and Ibushi kicks out. I mean, clearly this doesn't make any sense to me, because look, B Priestley has been instrumental in heel Ospreay winning matches. She's helped him cheat. She's helped him, you know, beat down people after the match. She's been constantly interfering and helping him. She's been nothing but a help to him. So what does taking her out, not necessarily even badly injuring her, it's not like he just destroyed her with a chair or some shit, but the just hitting her with a simple RKO there, which is, you know, not even his finisher anymore, and just saying, well, yeah, this is what I'm willing to do for the title. I'll get rid of her. What does that do for him? Does that help him win matches? No, because she helps him win matches. Does that prove that he's willing to do the same thing to Kota Ibushi? Fine, but what's going to happen when he loses to Kota Ibushi? Because he will.
No, but the issue comes in when you realize that you're the more that you put the more that you put value on B Priestley, the more it helps the case. Honestly,
right?
Because like it's not that he's like she's dead weight, I didn't need her. Like, it's not that at all. He's even saying like she was valuable to him winning, and him like just throwing that all away for the sake of it proves his point.
Right. Well, okay. From the chat, Jack wants B to be killed so he can marry Will. Bronx Killer, get out of my head, please. I don't like it.
Understand? He's in Kota Ibushi's head. Kota Ibushi saw him kill his own girlfriend, and now Kota's like, oh my god, he did that to his own. Oh, what's he gonna do to me? Is he gonna kill me? Kota Ibushi is trembling right now. Do you understand?
He's not scared
of Will Ospreay. And my prediction for the future, 2022, Will Ospreay versus Randy Orton.
Oh my god, Phil. RKO versus RKO. Yeah, exactly. But look, okay, the only way I'm willing to accept this storyline as making sense is if the character is literally that Will Ospreay is insane, that he has lost his mind completely, which if that's the case, okay, but if that's his only sole motivation, because if he's really coming out here saying, I will go through anything, even my own girlfriend, who's literally exclusively helping me, not in my way at all, then, you know, to get the title, if he's coming out and saying that, don't understand. But if he's coming out and saying that, and now we acknowledge, maybe we do some backstage segments, maybe he goes to anger management with Dr. Shelby, maybe we establish the fact that he's, you know, he takes a couple of those Rorschach tests, we establish the fact that he's got some screws loose, he's insane, he's like clinically messed up, right? Then I'll accept it, because that makes sense. That's why he would do that. And that's the only way that this is going to make sense to me.
Well,
see, it sounds like I just won this argument. Sebi, any other final thoughts before we let you go?
No.
Jack's wrong. Good night.
Yeah.
Thank you, Sebi. Phil, you talked over the caller just now, and not only the caller, but Sebi, and I did not hear what he said.
I can do what I want, but I'm sorry, Sebi. No, but yeah, he's sick, and you just don't get it.
I guess not. I really do not.
How do you not like this? Excuse me. He did not RKO. He did a Oz cutter. He did a wrestling maneuver on his own girlfriend. You understand?
No, I got that part.
Because
yeah.
He wants the title that badly.
I know. I watched the show.
He's willing to do anything it takes to get that title. Anything. And now he's free of distractions. He can go home and meditate and manifest that title around his waist. Do you understand?
Phil,
this is Will Ospreay's time. This is his time to shine.
Phil, we're joined once again.
He's doing the right thing.
We're joined once again by Sebi.
He's getting rid of all his distractions. All
right, you're continuing to repeat the same point, Phil. And I think I'd like to hear Sebi again, because you talked over him at the end there. It sounds like he has something else.
You talked over my final statement.
Yeah.
Jerry's final thought. I still want Kota to win, by the way, because he's not responsible.
Oh, I should have talked over you the whole time then. Like,
I wanted Kota to win because he's not responsible for the de-unification stuff that people are blaming him for, even though that's on New Japan itself. Beyond that, like, Nolan Edwards is innocent. Good night.
Okay. Sebi, thank you for your call. I don't know who Nolan Edwards is, Phil.
Me either.
Okay. So it was just a bit that we weren't even meant to get, Phil. But look, all this is in the future. We'll see what happens with Ospreay. I say he loses. You can't Baba Booey this show. Phil, another thing that happened in the news this week, and this is something that you mentioned earlier, right? You talked about Andrade. So Andrade, I don't know if you heard about this guy. Andrade, he's a wrestler. Hey, Phil, yeah. Andrade, more like Gondrade.
Andrade left.
Yeah, that's even better. Don't let the door hit you on the way out, Andrade.
Don't let the Andrade day hit you on the way out.
hey, more like on dip day, like you dipped.
Yeah.
Andrade dipped.
More like best luck on your future Andrades.
Yeah. Andrevers. More like on depart. Day departed.
Ooh, that's a little risky.
Risky?
Yeah.
What is that? What do you mean?
Because he's like Mexican. You said
deported. I didn't say deported, Phil. I said departed.
This is what got you banned from playing PUBG with me and Mikey.
Exactly. I gotta watch my mouth, Phil. These things I say can be misinterpreted. But look, Andrade was released from WWE, and this is something he had asked for, right? He'd asked for to be released. It was rejected at first, and then randomly a week later, he was in fact released. And from what I hear, there's actually not a no compete clause in his contract, so he can go and wrestle wherever he wants. He didn't have to wait. Which is really? Something they don't usually do for people. First of all, I gotta ask, do you really care that Andrade is gone? Because I'm not sure. I mean, I like him, but I don't know.
I care.
Yeah,
I like Andrade. I mean, dude, after that match with Gargano, where Gargano should have won.
Yeah.
Dude, that was, oh man, I was so mad that Gargano didn't win. But at the end of the day, that was a great match. But yeah, after that, I was like, oh, Andrade's awesome. And I liked him. I liked him a lot. It's sad to see him go. But now him and Zelina are gone. But I said Angel Garza is the future.
You did.
I said that.
Yeah.
And now he's the last man standing. But yeah, it's weird. Like, people asking for the release, like, how bad is it? Because it's like, I get it when you're like a jobber, whatever. But he wasn't a jobber.
Right.
He was doing things. Like, he was doing good. And then it was like, oh, I want my release. And then, like, he wasn't on TV for a few weeks. And, like, what's so bad about WWE that people ask for their release? Like, I don't get it. I don't understand. It scares me. Like, what's going on back there? I wish I knew.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I would always figure, I mean, we hear the stories all the time of the way that people are buried backstage, the way that, you know, sometimes Vince McMahon can pick you up and say he sees potential in you and then just drop you and just forget about you. We see it reflected on TV by people who just disappear, you know, but usually those are, like you said, jobbers. Andrade hasn't been on TV in a few months, but when he was on TV, was consistently challenging for titles. He was US champion like less than a year ago.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, he's a mid-carder, an upper mid-carder, and I don't know. It's a little bit, it's strange. I mean, yeah, he wasn't on TV recently, but I always figured that was because he was injured or because they were waiting to bring him back. I think if they had brought him back, they probably would have done something with him. But the other
part, he had Corona the whole time, and then he gave it to Charlotte, and that's why Rhea Ripley said that she has Corona, and why Rhea Ripley's fighting Asuka.
Well, see, this is the other part of the story because, maybe Andrade had COVID for 6 months and that would explain it, but
he had the new variant that no one knows about.
Totally, yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, Andrade, more like COVID-A. But that's the other part of this story that you just said, because you see, apparently the backstage rumor is that Charlotte, the reason that he wasn't released when he asked for it and then he was released a week later is because Charlotte, his girlfriend, or fiance, I think they might be, but went backstage and actually campaigned to the bosses for him to be released like you asked for. And what's strange about this is that seemed to work if that is what happened. And then all of a sudden, Charlotte disappears. She challenged Asuka on Raw, and she's like, I'm going to come for Asuka, or I want Asuka. It seemed clear even for the last few months that that was the match they were going to do at WrestleMania. Then she's gone. And these things seem very connected to me. When Rhea Ripley came out this week on Raw, she says to Asuka, hey, I know you were scheduled to face Charlotte, but Charlotte's not here. And she pauses for a solid like 5 seconds. And then she goes, oh, because she has COVID.
So, well, you think she made that up on the spot?
Yes. Yes.
No way.
Well, I don't think that she made that up, but I think that that's the like official story they're going with, because it's very convenient for Charlotte to have to come down with COVID right before a WrestleMania match they've been building for months. I just don't believe it.
No, but like at the end of the day, that's Ric Flair's daughter. Like, they're not gonna do that to her. I don't think they would do that to her. Ric Flair's daughter? No way. He's a 2-time Hall of Famer.
True.
I think she actually has COVID. I don't think it's related. I think the only reason Andrade got released was because Charlotte put the word in. That's what I'm thinking. I don't think Charlotte got like in trouble for that.
Well, I mean, she went over, I guess whoever originally, I assume Vince, who originally said, Andrade, sorry, you're not going to be released. In some way or another, she went over his head, or she, you know, talked back to the boss in some way. So it would be a silly thing to get in trouble for, but
why don't they want to release people?
I don't know. They weren't doing anything with them. This is the same problem they had with, there are a lot of people over the last few years. Like, I remember Ty Dillinger had a problem with this, right? There were a few people, I think, earlier this year who wanted their release and just could not get it. And yet then they'll dump, like, 15 guys at once in the middle of a pandemic and not give them,
people
like,
that don't seven. Even ask for it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
People who were on TV last week, yeah.
Dude, I don't get it. Like, and it's like a gamble going to WWE. Like, either you could, like, maybe be Sasha Banks.
Yeah.
Or you can be Ty Dillinger. Like, you don't know.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a very strange circumstance. I mean, we don't know the full story of this, but yeah, suffice it to say, WWE does not seem to be a desirable place to work at the moment. A lot of people asking for their release recently. Andrade is now gone, and I guess the question at this point is, what does he do next?
I don't know. AEW?
It could be.
I don't know. It would be real cool if he went to New Japan, honestly.
Yeah.
Like, dude, everyone goes to AEW or TNA. So many people need to go to New Japan. It's like people forgot what New Japan is.
Right, right.
Like, there's a lot of people that I would love to see in New Japan, and I think they should.
You know, I agree.
But hopefully with, like, you know, these deals that are going on, no matter where someone officially signs with, they'll be featured on, you know, one, like all three of the promotions, hopefully. So,
yeah. I think he will go to New Japan because, see, here's my hot take. This is my, Mr. Predictions prediction, I guess. And just please quote me in the article when it comes true. All right. I was looking around at the, I was looking at the Sakura Genesis card, New Japan, right? Cause I know about this, this Osprey Ibushi match we were talking about. I wanted to see what else was on the card. Turns out, typical New Japan, almost nothing is on the card. Like, it's all a bunch of six-man tags and bullshit. But you see, there is one match that was very, very... Jesus Christ, what's that noise?
Whoa, what was that?
You heard that too?
Yeah, that's strange. Oh my God.
What the fuck was that? Somebody's hacking us, dude. Because I'm about to expose the secrets here of New Japan.
Oh, yeah.
Gato is in my microphone. who's buzzing in? Yeah, who got the code? Sebi. You're giving people the code.
What's the code?
my hot take here. I was scrolling through these matches. I see a match that's Los Ingobernables de Japón, right? You got, like, I think it was Naito, Shingo, Sanada. They're in a six-man tag. And they're going up against Osprey's team, the Empire. So you got Okan, you got Jeff Cobb, and then you have a mystery member. And New Japan doesn't do this often, but when they do the mystery entrant or whatever, it tends to be a pretty big deal. It's not just some random return of some whoever. It's usually a debut. Shingo, I think, debuted in one of these mystery man matches. And Phil, if you recall to a time, you know, before I even was watching New Japan, so I'm not recalling this. I just know this. Andrade was in New Japan. He was in the original incarnation of Los Ingobernables. So what happens here, Phil, and this is a spoiler. It's not a prediction, it's a spoiler, okay? He comes out and he teams up against his old team to join Osprey's team and just gives him a big fuck you.
Yeah. I like it. It's what I want. I want that. Oh man, that would be great. Yeah, I have nothing else to say except that's beautiful. And I would love to see that happen. And even if he does go to AEW, though, like,
yeah,
of course that'd be awesome. But yeah, New Japan, if he did that, that would be so sick. I would love that. Yeah, I'm hoping you're right. I mean, you have Mr. Predictions title right now, so maybe that's helping you a little bit.
You admit it. You admit it, Phil. Might as well put a point on it, Phil. This is going to happen. I just confirmed. But look, regardless of what happens.
Is Ring of Honor still do wrestling?
Ring of... What is that?
They do wrestling? Ring of Honor?
Do they?
Wait, I don't remember.
Ring of Honor?
Yeah, do they still do the wrestling? Like,
did they ever? You know, because I don't even know what that joke even means. Phil, Ring of Honor, more like Ring Andrade. Ring of Andrade.
I found my Kingdom Over whatever signs.
Oh, really?
Final Battle. It's like Kingdom Over something, and then another one was like a V, a letter V.
Yeah.
There wasn't a Young Bucks one.
No, there was. Phil, for context, we were at a Ring of Honor show, Final Battle 2018. I have it, Phil. The Kingdom of this team, I think they're back together now, but the Kingdom was a big team in Ring of Honor at the time, and Matt Taven and all those guys had all these signs that was the Kingdom greater than sign tag team here. They had a million of them.
It was like Kingdom Over Briscoes.
Briscoes, yeah, SCU, like all these tag teams in Ring of Honor. I think they had like every tag team on there. Bunch of signs, and there were other signs too, and they put them on like the merch table when you walked in to encourage you to grab one. And we grabbed a whole bunch when we were going in there. I made sure to dig through the pile and grab the Kingdom greater than Young Bucks sign. I'm pretty sure I still have it somewhere. I got to find it, but I made sure to rub it to like legitimately raise it because I believe it. And I think Phil was none too happy about that. But regardless, Ring of Honor, never heard of them. Kingdom, more like Andrade-dom. And another thing that happened in the news this week is, and this is one that also got its fair share of controversy, and I'm sure will continue to, but this is something I'm excited about, and it's in a weird, perverse way, maybe, but Titus O'Neil, I don't know if you heard of this guy, but Titus right. O'Neil and Hulk Hogan, they've been confirmed to be the WrestleMania hosts for this year, and it's such a baffling decision. It's such a confusing thing. I don't know why they did this, but on so many levels, because, of course, online, obviously, the backlash and the main point here is that Titus O'Neil openly hates Hulk Hogan, and I think he said at one point he doesn't forgive him for the apology, right? Based on, of course, when Hulk Hogan said the M-word. Titus O'Neil's not happy with that, obviously. But they're being put together here, and it's really weird. But I find it weird on another level, too, because I'm not really sure why they decided to include Titus O'Neil as a host at all. Hulk Hogan in the past has been a host. He has botched his hosting duties plenty of times. He's consistently trips over his lines when he is host, you know, Silver Dome, whatever. And Titus O'Neil is a guy who is a part-time jobber who's only on the roster. Hey, look, no disrespect, but Titus O'Neil sucks. He is a jobber who is only employed by WWE because he does charity work, but that's besides the point. He's also not charismatic, so I'm not sure why he's a host. But Phil, that's not what I'm here to talk about today. Titus O'Neil, Hulk Hogan, they're the WrestleMania hosts. As if the concept of WrestleMania hosts were not awkward and uncomfortable enough every year. What do you think about this?
It should be The Rock.
It should be The Rock.
It should be The Rock, and then he interferes in Roman Reigns' match, and then they have a match, and it's The Rock versus Roman Reigns at WrestleMania, and then Edge is like, oh no, I don't have a match. What do I do? What
oh
do
my
I do?
God.
And then he's like, Rock, get over here. That title that Bobby Lashley has, it's mine now, and I want to fight Randy Orton.
Phil, this is seriously not going to happen. But honestly, if it does, I actually will be totally on board. And if Titus and Hogan are the commentary team the whole time, I'll like it too, because like I said, I'm pretty excited about this. I would like to see what the dynamic is like between these two guys. It is going to be the most awkward experience, unless they have it super well scripted out. They have all the body language totally planned out, which they probably do.
I'm so ready. I didn't even know like any of this.
Really?
Yeah, I'm finding out right now. So that's real funny. That's real interesting. I can't wait to see that.
And on top of that, Titus O'Neil has been like liking tweets on Twitter that talk about how this shouldn't be happening, how Titus should be the only host, which what kind of a person goes on Twitter, types in Titus O'Neil should host WrestleMania and thinks, oh, dude, this is such a good take right here.
No. What kind of person goes on Twitter is where you should have stopped.
That's true. yeah, check out Fight Guys Pod to show exactly how many people go on our Twitter. Not many. So, yeah, Titus O'Neil's been liking a lot of tweets that have to do with people saying this is stupid and that, you know, Hogan shouldn't be there, which is funny. But like I said, I'm excited to see what happens. I would love to see a live camera on them the entire time just to see how they interact during matches, because the hosts, they don't do that much. The hosts just, they sit there, they probably introduce the show at the beginning. They every once in a while will come in and they'll say something like, oh, well, what a crazy match. If you remember last year, Titus O'Neil, I think, was hosting. He at least was there at some point. He just shows up on the balcony after the Firefly Funhouse match and he just goes, I have no idea what I just saw.
Oh, yeah.
And then they just cut away. And that's the whole thing. So if they have a live camera on them, all I'm saying is I want to see the looks they give each other. I want to see how far apart they are from each other. I want to see all the awkward tension. You can cut it with a knife, Phil, and I'm excited.
Yeah, I'm excited. I'm as excited as you are now, because this is going to be real interesting. Some real drama.
Absolutely.
I'm hoping for some shots. I'm hoping for some shots fired. Like, I don't know what they're going to say, but I don't know. I mean, it's probably all scripted and stuff, but you never know. It's another reason to watch WrestleMania.
You're hoping for some...
Oh.
Shots fired.
Sorry, I just had to... The one context I can use that sounder.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you. That was great.
Phil, we have one more thing to get to before we go.
Right.
WrestleMania is very exciting. In 2 weeks, let me say this. In 2 weeks, we're going to be predicting WrestleMania. A lot of matches. We're going to be predicting TakeOver as well. And so many matches.
And it's also in front of a crowd, too, dude. Like,
yeah.
It's awesome.
I'm
and
very
they're
going to
have a real stage. A real stage. You haven't had a real stage in like a year.
That's true. I hope they have a real stage. I mean, we'll see what this crowd ends up looking like. I mean, it'll at least be like very off-putting to see the crowd there in whatever capacity it is, to see something that's not the Thunderdome. It'll be really weird. But I'm looking forward to it.
The crowd's going to go crazy though.
I would think, yeah. They better amp them up. They better put a WWE branded microphone in every one of their hands as the matches happen.
Yeah, they should.
But Phil, before we go, we have a new segment that you've introduced this week, and I understand that you have a lot of very strange dreams, Phil. You've actually mentioned on the show at one point, you literally, and I'm not even saying this is a joke or misquoting you, you literally had a wet dream about Nia Jax. Am I right about this?
You're completely wrong about this.
Oh, really?
But something that did happen, which it definitely proves my markness.
Mm-hmm.
Right after Elimination Chamber, as you know, as you can probably watch back, you know, I was mad, whatever. I started playing like SmackDown versus Raw 2007. I did like Edge versus Orton, and I did in WWE 2K20, Edge versus Orton. And I was just so mad about Randy Orton after Elimination Chamber.
For those of you who don't know,
I had a dream that night about Randy Orton and Edge fighting at WrestleMania 22. And I was there. And also during that dream, which it doesn't make sense, but they were getting ready for WrestleMania, but then it started raining, so there wasn't going to be a WrestleMania. And then I look outside, and it was like it stopped raining, and like Kevin Owens was helping set up the ring. And I was like, oh, shoot. Actually, it was Kevin Steen. He had this like Kevin Steen stuff on. So really? Like, oh, shoot, that's Kevin Steen. Let me go help him with the ring for WrestleMania. But Sheamus wouldn't let me out of this classroom because he kept talking. But that's not even the dream I'm going to get to.
Wait, Sheamus was your teacher?
I don't know.
This is such a weird combination. For those of you who don't know, by the way, if those of you who weren't watching Elimination Chamber with us live on twitch.tv/FightGhostWrestling, after the disappointment of Randy Orton being eliminated early on in the Elimination Chamber match, yeah, Phil literally, he wins a match as Randy Orton versus Edge at WrestleMania on SmackDown versus Raw and one on 2K20, and he put his old TV and his new flat screen TV next to each other on the stream and just had that as his camera, and he walked off camera. And that was like the last hour of our stream. So he was depressed, distraught, a lot of other D words.
I'm still mad, but
yeah, no, absolutely. But Phil, you keep a dream journal as far as I know, right?
Yeah, it's not really consistent, but sometimes I'll wake up and it's like, okay, let me just go type this on my phone right now.
Right.
While I'm like not even awake, but I want to save this dream. And I have some of those.
So Phil,
and I'm going to read them.
Okay, Phil, so this is a new segment we have right here. And Phil, I got to commemorate it with, I don't know, this.
Awake, my son. What's under your bed?
Phil, what's under your bed?
Randy Orton.
You wish. With a hole in the bottom, like the you know, popcorn trick.
Oh no. Not like that.
Oh really?
No.
I'm kind of surprised. Phil, I'd love to hear about the first dream you got here.
I just want to talk to the voices in his head.
Yeah.
And like if it's real quiet in a room, you could hear them talk.
Oh really?
So it's like three people talking. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
And when I was at Westchester County Center, he told me this when I met him.
Oh, when he high-fived you? Yeah, for that brief second? He told you all this stuff? That's crazy.
Yeah, he was like, dude, there's like voices in my head, and when it's quiet, you can hear them. And then he left. I was like, that's crazy, man. Yeah.
What a guy. He probably shouldn't be in front of children like he was at the time. Phil, give me a dream.
Okay. So I haven't even read this one.
Oh, okay.
I just typed it half asleep. And let's see what it says.
Let's see if it's coherent.
Going to the mall during karaoke night.
Okay.
And Chris Jericho was in a big elevator with lights, dancing and singing. Now I remember this.
Yeah.
It was like karaoke night, and it was like it was almost like a parade almost. And there was like a building, and it was like an elevator was going up and down the building and then like stopping in the middle sometimes.
Right.
And it was just Chris Jericho in this elevator. And you can see him.
dancing and singing, and there were like a bunch of lights around it too.
Wow. I mean, this sounds like a step up from any typical Fozzy concert.
Wow.
It's not a super spreader like the rest of them because he's in an elevator.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
That's true. Okay. And now this is the second part of the dream.
Okay.
There was a match, and a guy was scared that Brandon Kirk was lurking behind the curtain. And someone was there, but it was John Moxley giving him the rub, and I got DDT'd.
You wait, okay, this context is very confusing. So first of all, what kind of rub is he giving him?
Like the wrestling rub.
Oh, so he's just complimenting him, he's just putting him over?
Yeah, that's
right. And so why did you get DDT'd?
I don't know.
You just by who?
By John Moxley. He DDT'd me.
Right, yeah.
And I remember like going on my head and I was like, whoa, that's crazy. I'm going to tell my friends that John Moxley DDT'd me.
Oh, yeah. They'll believe it.
Like I said that. Yeah, weird. Went to a food place where my new friends work, and my card got declined, so I gave him a 20 and a 1, but was short 35 cents, and the girl that took the order tried to look to see if she had 35 cents, but she didn't, and I didn't want to break my $150 bill or my $5 bill.
Damn.
Oh, that was the last part.
I've kind of been in that situation before, actually. Not usually after taking a paradigm shift on the floor, but, you know,
right.
I've been there. So the cashier was trying to pay for you?
She was looking to see if she could find 35 cents.
Okay, yeah.
Because I didn't want to break my $150 bill.
Your $150 bill? That's pretty good. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, absolutely. Who would be on that? Randy Orton?
100%.
Okay, 150%.
Osprey's on the 120.
Oh, naturally. Yeah. Phil, give me one more before we go, because I got to hear another one of these dreams.
Oh, really? You want another one?
I do. I'm fascinated.
Okay. Let's see. Let's go through my notes. Okay. I don't want to see if I have another wrestling one.
Yeah, absolutely. I have a lot of wrestling dreams. I mean, I could go more in depth about this, but the only ones I remember, I had one where I was like, I was in the Elimination Chamber match, but I was not prepared at all. I had never trained a day in my life. But The Miz comes up to me and he goes, "No, dude, it's totally fine. I'll just watch your back. We'll be a team." And I walk in there, and the second I get in there, I just get bro kicked by Sheamus. And he's like, "Oh, shit." And I think he pinned me after that, The Miz. He like just turned on me. He's like, "All right, fuck it."
Nice.
Yeah. And I remember a similar dream where you found a good one. Okay. I was just saying, I remember a similar dream where I went to an Evolve show. And then they were like, "Oh, damn, we're supposed to have a jobber on the show, but he called in sick last minute. So can you just do it?" And I had a match, I think, with like Josh Briggs or somebody at this Evolve show, and not prepared at all. But like, I come out and I'm like, "Oh, hell yeah." I was like really like into it, and people were cheering me out of nowhere and they didn't know who I was. And I just took all the bumps, you know? And I was like, I took a buckle bomb on the bottom turnbuckle. And I just remember reveling in the cheers of the crowd as I got carried out. And then I woke up and realized the bleakness of life.
So, I see. Sucks.
Yeah. All right, go ahead.
All right. So Steel Panther was live.
Okay.
And I was reading the lyrics on my computer.
Oh, so this is a nightmare. Okay.
Dream. And Motley Crue was live. Nikki Six and Vince Neil were handcuffed to Mick and Tommy Lee.
Right.
Mick Mars and Tommy Lee. And then they get slammed by Triple H and X-Pac on stage.
Now, was this recent? Because I remember watching an episode of Raw, an old episode of Raw that I told you about, where Motley Crue actually performed on Raw. I didn't know about this, but they performed with DX on the stage, just doing X-Pac just doing crotch chops on the stage while they played. It was so strange. But
I know, you showed me it, and I was like, "Oh my god, that's so cool." But this was October 25th.
Oh.
Actually.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Okay. All right.
This is before I even knew that existed.
Maybe you made it, because I didn't know it existed until I watched that episode, so maybe you actually brought it into existence. Like, by having the dream, it then appeared like one of those maybe Mandela effect deals. I don't think I'm using that term correctly, but one of those deals where it just appears on the tape, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's one of those.
It is one of those. You know those things that happen all the time.
You're right. Okay. Oh, Skid Row is looking for a singer.
Okay.
Oh my god, dude, I remember this as I'm reading it, and it's like, wow, I actually remember this. Like, it was like gone from my memory. Really? Like, Skid Row is looking for a singer. They call Sebastian Bach, and he came, and he was like a little bit old and looked different. And he was obsessed with the Pantera and Metallica sounds. But I typed in as Panera. So I don't know if he was obsessed with Panera Bread.
Right.
And Metallica sounds or Pantera. I'm going to assume Pantera, though.
Probably, yeah. I mean, Panera and Metallica are a pretty good combination, but it doesn't seem, you know, one of these things are not like the other.
Yeah.
See, one of these things is Screamo and the other one is really good food. So.
Anyway, yeah. So I'm in a, yeah, I was like in a room. It was like a conference room. And like, okay. Sebastian Bach was there, like, talking and stuff. He looked old. Like older than he does now. Like, it was weird. Aston Alexandria came to that room and met Sebastian Bach. And then Xavier Woods and two other wrestlers wanted to meet him. I don't remember the two other wrestlers. That's why I put two wrestlers. But Xavier Woods and two other wrestlers wanted to meet him. And they met him. And then I was in the conference room making out with a girl.
Oh, really? Oh, that's part of the dream. Wait, so all these bands are just like making deals and they're signing contracts. Xavier Woods is there, but you're not paying attention to any of it. You're making out with a girl in a conference room during all this.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. All right. Sounds like you had quite the night.
Yeah. Crazy dreams. Crazy dreams.
Yeah.
I'll make sure to write down more as Please they do. Happen.
Phil, I understand you do have a lot of these dreams, and I'm sure you'll have a lot more. In fact, I just found one in my notes that I have. I'll save that for another time, because I found a really complicated, long, wrestling-related dream, which has, like, people dying. Teaser for next time. But, Phil, for now, these were your dreams, and I guess we've been Fight Guys, because today, Phil, we talked a lot about what happened in the news. Andrade's gone. Hey, Andrade, more like fucking... I'm Jack Peterson, I am Ajax, I'm Andrade, I'm Gondrade, I'm Buffy, I am Follow the Buzzer, I'm Sexpac, I'm Mr. Trivia, and I am joined every single week by the man across the internet.
Yeah, I'm Phil, I'm Prince Havoc, I'm Will Ospreay, I'm Randy Orton, I'm Kenny Omega, I'm a $150 bill, and Jack, another one done. It's a good episode. I'm looking forward to your dream next week.
Me too.
That'll be real interesting. People actually died, and that's great. I don't think I've ever had a dream where I died, but I heard that if you have a dream where you die in real life, so I think that's a good thing. But Jack, we are the Alternative Wrestling Podcast, and we shouldn't forget that. There are other podcasts out there, right? And we're the alternative to that. Do you get that? You understand that?
Why is that?
Oh, because we're different.
Right, because why?
Oh, because we're like the alternative.
Yeah, but like what like brings it all together and makes us that alternative?
Oh, because like I'm Phil.
Right. And I'm Jack.
And you're Andrade.
And we?
We're two different, you know, specimens in the simulator. Oh, wait, no. We're Fight Guys.
The Alternative Wrestling Podcast.